Well, you know, it's kind of difficult to know where to go with the issue of prayer. It's can be a difficult thing to communicate. And like I've told you, we will. Today is not the day, but we will. We'll get a little more practical, and we'll try to have some practical hints every week, but we're still trying to get to the heart of prayer, of what is it about, what is our attitude in it, and how can we draw closer to God. And we will also talk about praying together, that as a family, talk about praying together, as a body, and just as in small groups. So we'll try to hit on those issues. I'll give you some tools, just some real practical things, as I said, my own prayer guide that I use. And we'll talk about how God will use this in your life to lead you to be His instrument. So, but we've got to go one step at a time. So hang in there with us today. I've told you every week, and I'm going to remind you every week that, because as we go deeper into prayer, you can tend to make it something it's not. And prayer is first of all about relationship. And we looked at a couple of verses. We looked at 1 John 5:3. We won't go there. That where Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey me." And Psalm 37:4-5, where says, "If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart." I just hope that you can connect that to prayer and to relationship. Delighting yourself in the Lord. That is not just relationship. That is relationship. That is a deep pleasure. Delighting yourself in the Lord. And the result of that is that He will answer your prayer. So out of our love relationship with God, out of that Abba, Father, relationship with God, comes His answers to our prayers. So there we'll try to get a deeper understanding of what prayer is about. So let's go to a few verses here that we'll try to capture some of this. Prayer will not only increase the closeness of your walk, your relationship with the Lord, but it increases the capacity for it and the passion that you have for God. It increases your very ability to know God. So it is, prayerlessness, we talked about that. Prayerlessness is a sin. And prayerlessness is rampant in the church. The church in America, a large portion of the church, is basically a prayerless church. And we don't want to be that. And if you are struggling with prayer, this is not to beat you over the head with this. In fact, I've heard a few of you comment that you have been struggling with prayer. But what an encouragement that is, that you are struggling with it. How can this even be? And if you're not asking the questions, then you're not going to get an answer as we come together here. But if you're asking the questions, if you are taking this home and you are saying, "God, I want to talk to you. I want to pray. And I'm not getting very far with it, but I'm determined to pursue you, to seek you and to pray," then He will answer that. It may not be overnight. In fact, most likely it will not be instantaneously, but He will teach you to pray. So we'll try to make some strides in that before we get through with our topic of prayer. So, Psalm 42:1-2. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" And Psalm 145:18. "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." "When can I go and meet with God?" The Lord is near to those who call on Him. I mean, this is about relationship. This is about us knowing God, God knowing us. Let's go over to the next book, Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. And a couple of books over, Isaiah 26:9. My soul yearns for you, and my soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. And Isaiah 33:2. O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. The reason we read all those verses is I really want you to get a feel for what prayer, even if you cannot put it into words, get a feel for what prayer is about. This relationship with God. The relational aspect of prayer. Because we're going to go a little deeper today. And we do not want to turn prayer into a thing of works or something to accomplish. That's why I'm being careful with this. That's why we're talking about this being a relational thing. About your desire for God. His desire to meet with you. So a quick review of where we've been so far. Prayer and the Word. That not just using the Word to pray, which you will, hopefully, I can show you a few things about how to do that, how to actually use the Word in prayer. But it's more than that. It's right thinking about who God is and right thinking about who we are and where we stand in relation to God. It's understanding the way to righteousness. And if we get out of balance either way, we're in trouble. If we have the Word and no prayer, it's cold and dry. And if we get prayer, too much emphasis on prayer and not enough of the Word, then we get fanatical and wacko. So we need a balance there. Not that we cut back on either one, but we need to intertwine prayer and the Word. And we'll get to it. Some very practical means of how to do that. We talked about prayer being God's method. This just astounds me that this is the way God chooses to do His work, is through the prayers of His people. If we're not praying and we're doing God's work, I really have to wonder, whose work are we really doing? What are we really accomplishing if we're not praying? And we looked at the idea of just stop and pray. Just stop and pray. All the different things we have going on, all the projects, all the ideas, all the responsibilities, but we must stop and pray. And, you know, I believe that some of you are doing this. In the last week and a half, I have seen God really, really dealing with some people. Facing the issues, dealing with things. And I just attribute it to prayer. I believe there's been an increase in prayer among us. I believe there has been. There has been in myself, and I'll share that with you in a minute. So don't let me forget. We also talked about perseverance in prayer. Not giving up. Praying and not giving up. Faith in prayer. That thing of God saying, call on me and I will answer you. That we go to God expecting, not with the, okay, God, you owe me attitude. But really, we're praying, not because it's an exercise, but we're praying. We're expecting God to move. We're expecting God to answer. Which we also talked about hints in prayer, about starting off with thanksgiving and praise, about using the Word to pray. When we run out of ideas of what to pray about and what to pray for people, is actually making ourselves a list of Scripture that applies, that we can go to and turn to quickly. We talked about not leaving prayer at the first sign of boredom or not being able to accomplish it. And we talked about prayer and the contact with God and the impact that has on the rest of our day. And you see, I hope you see that woven in some of those verses we read, that He is our strength in the morning, and that how easy it is to fall into prayer during the day when we have started off in contact with God. Okay, the prayer of intercession, part B. So go with me on this. This goes a little deeper. This sets the bar a little higher, if you would. But still, I think we need to get a picture of this. Don't be afraid. I've talked a lot about surrender, about dying to self, being identified with the cross, living your life completely for God, intimacy with God. I think it is possible that all of these things are preparation for this, what we're going to talk about right now. That this could be the place that we encounter God the most directly is in true intercession. Now, if you don't know what intercession is, let me just try to give you a little bit of a picture of this. It's interceding for another person. It's Moses standing in the gap before God. God, an example of this is when God, in His wrath, His just and righteous wrath, was going to wipe out the people of Israel. He was going to wipe them out. He was going to do away with them. He told Moses, I'm starting all over with you. I'm going to do away with these stubborn, stiff-necked people, and we're starting all over with you. And you know what Moses did? Here comes the wrath of God. It's headed towards the people of Israel. He's going to annihilate them. Moses falls on his face before God. Maybe he stands up after he falls on his face. And he says, no, God, do not wipe them out. Do not. They are your people. If you take me, blot my name out of the book of life. But do not wipe out your people. These are your people. A puny little man, an old man, standing up to the God of the ages, the God of the universe. It's hard for me to fathom. He's standing between God, a wrathful God, and a stubborn people, a puny little man. And that puny little man swayed Almighty God and what God was intending to do. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it because of the prayers of one man. A nation was going to be annihilated. And the prayers of one man stopped it. He stood up to the wrath of God. Because it pleased God to give in to the prayers of His man. It pleased Him. That's intercession. In 1 Peter 2:9, I don't have this on your outline. We're not going to read it. You can go there if you'd like. The writer there calls us Christians. He calls us a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Now, we've studied this before. The Old Testament priests, they were set aside for God's purpose. They were sanctified. That's what we are called. We are called God's priests, sanctified. Our jobs, our hobbies, or whatever. Those things are still important. But we have a new central purpose. And that's God's purpose. Just like these priests of the Old Testament. God was their purpose. Things were different. They were sanctified, set aside for a holy purpose. And that's all of us, set aside for a holy purpose. The Old Testament priests carried into the presence of God. Remember, now, not only was this the high priest going in once a year to the Holy of Holies, but there were other sacrifices. There was still the priest, a go-between between God and man, between God and the people. And these priests would carry into God the blood for the sins of the people, and even coming in for the needs of the people, interceding for the people. Now, this privilege belongs to all believers. We are all priests. We all have this privilege of going in to God, of bringing in the sins of the people and the needs of the people, of others. True intercession is not merely praying for someone and leaving it at that. Now that's good. I'm not saying that you have to do what we're going to talk about here for every single individual you pray with, you pray for. So it's good. There's sometimes you'll just be called just a quick sentence prayer for someone that you know is going through a difficulty or that someone's requested you to pray for. But there is something more. There is a difference. There is a laying hold of God that needs to have a place in our praying. Now, it takes time and it takes energy to do this. It takes time with God to appropriate the promises of His Word and to permit the Holy Spirit to let us know when this applies to us. Now, let me just... What that means is that God has put somebody on our heart. And, you know, this is the kind of praying that a mother would do for a sick child. This is the kind of praying that a shepherd, pastor, elder would hopefully do for the people that he's responsible for. This is the kind of praying that any laborer of God would do for people that have been put into their responsibility. They pray until they know their prayers are heard. Being in the Word and praying, the Holy Spirit may enlighten a specific promise and say, this is for you. Lay hold to it and pray until you believe. And I will give you confirmation. I'll give you the faith to believe and you will know that this thing is true. And we come into God like this, not with the blood of animals, but by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. We come to God and we pray until the answer is obtained. If we could just accept this, what we're talking about right now, if we could just accept this and follow through on it, the power that we could manifest in our priesthood as we go into God for the needs of others. In fact, I think we would see people turning to God, running to God. We would see people maturing in God. We would see Christ being formed in others. So, just in case you're tempted to say, well, Steve, that's good for you. You're a pastor. You've been doing this for a long time. That's good for you. But that sounds a little out there for me. I haven't been at this very long. I'm having trouble even having quiet time. You're aiming high for me. Well, let me take you back 20 years ago. If you've been through Firm Foundations, and if you've been through building on Firm Foundations, you are way far beyond where I was 20 years ago. And if you've been coming on Sundays, you've been getting the training and equipping that you're getting, then you're way, way beyond where I was 20 years ago and what I knew. And even my maturity level. I would say just about everybody here knows and is more mature than I was, including you, Kirsten, than I was 20 years ago. What was I? About 26, I guess. But I was living in Evanston. I know y'all have heard Evanston stories before. But I'd already been through this some. But there was a guy working out that had a gym in my basement, and I think some of you know Kirk. He was a guy from the neighborhood. And he came over and wanted to start working out. Well, Kirk was, and sorry, Kirk, if you happen to listen to this on the web. Kirk could be hard to like at times. And Kirk, he was into the bar scene and, you know, adventure, definitely chasing the ladies, getting into fights and playing hard and at the same time, kind of sensitive. You know, we'd have our Christian music going in the gym, and he'd ask us to turn it off in our own gym, in our own house. And you have to be very careful what you said to Kirk. You'd get offended. But God just put Kirk on my heart. And I just started praying for him. Now, I didn't know much. I got to tell you, I didn't know much. I mean, I read my Bible. I had quiet time, but I didn't know that much. And I just started praying for Kirk. And I'd take walks, you know, back up in the hills there, the sagebrush hills back by my house. Now, he wasn't the only one I prayed for, but I really lifted Kirk up. And I can remember specific, to this day, my memory is not very good, most of you know, but I can remember specifically times of walking and praying. I remember one time I was spotting Kirk. He was bench pressing. I lift the weight off for him. And I just remember just like, oh, God, help him turn to you. The Lord, I just wanted to know you. And then I can remember specific conversations we would have. And I'd be going, he asked me a question. I don't know what to say. I don't have the answer to that question. I don't understand. God, help me. But you know what? God, as I believed God for His salvation, because it didn't look like anything was going to happen. But as I prayed and I laid hold of the promises of God, that He would answer my prayer, that He would grab a hold of him, He did. And Kirk's life completely turned around. He turned to God and he was saved. He was saved. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was praying. I was believing God. And God, I prayed till I prayed. I prayed till I had assurance that he would turn to God. And you know what? I got to be foolish enough to think that if God put somebody on my heart and I prayed for them in that way, they would come to know the Lord. In my immaturity, I started to believe that. And you know what? I started to pray for people. And I got to think, you can't be my friend without knowing, coming to know Jesus. Because I'm going to pray for you. Now, there's a few people I put in the I don't know, I don't understand that bag. I prayed for them. I never did see anything happen. But I'll tell you, on those people that God put on my heart, and I was willing to pray. I was willing to pray. Half the night I was willing to pray. All the night I was willing to pray. If I was willing to pray and lay hold of God, and believe Him, and grab hold of His promises. I didn't know much. I was not a mature Christian. But God would move on people's hearts and He'd save them. He just would do it. So don't use the excuse. You know more than I knew. You know more right now than I knew. And when you get the victory, don't stop praying. When you get the victory, you keep on praying. You keep on lifting them up. I think I failed Kirk in some areas in this, in my immaturity. But I talked to him yesterday. And I committed to him to renew my prayers for him. But you know, there are other prayers that I prayed from 20 years ago. And one of them was a failed prayer. But I have just in the last week realized that it was not a failed prayer. I left Georgia and moved to Wyoming a little over 20 years ago. Thinking God had called me to start a youth camp. Mount Sinai Youth Camp. And I left Georgia believing God. He was going to do this, you know. And got to Wyoming, got a job in the oil field, started saving money. Started looking at land, found some land in the Uintas. And it was owned by the railroad company, wrote the railroad company. We were about on the verge of having this land donated to us. We organized as a nonprofit, me and a couple buddies. And this thing, you know, had a vision for making disciples, you know, way back then. For being able to teach and train and equip young people to go and serve the Lord. But it didn't happen. And I really prayed for it. I walked those hills praying. I mean, I walked those hills praying and I believed God for it. But it didn't happen. And I just realized, just recently, that, oh, you know what? You know, there's a lot involved. I was not ready to do that. Like I was just, I was not ready. I did not have the maturity. I did not have the knowledge. I wasn't ready. The other thing was God taught me is He gave me not a passion for doing His work through me and a bunch of my buddies, but He taught me to do His work through the body, through the church that He designed, and to do it with other people of like-mindedness, and to do it within the system that He designed. And you know what? Right now, I believe that this, right now, what we're doing of joining up with other people, partnering with you guys, that this is what God was calling me to. This is what God was calling me to. This is what I was praying about, and I didn't really know it. Thank God He did not let me start that silly youth camp and not start a church. I just thank Him that that didn't happen. He protected me, but He answered my prayer. I didn't know what happened for 20 years. I hadn't that I don't know what's going on with this God. I believe You for this, and it didn't happen. What is going on with this God? But He answered my prayer. Way, this is so much better. This is so much better than what a little youth camp in the Uintas stuck away in the woods would have been. Oh, I would have liked it. It would have been good for me. But this is what God meant for me. And He knew we were all going to run into each other. He knew this was going to happen. Why don't we want to pray like that? You know, I remember certain times of praying like that before we came to Utah. We had a Bible study going there, and I would, you know, I came to believe in prayer because I saw what God did, even those days in Wyoming of my stumbling around. I started to know a little more in Georgia, teaching the Word, and begin to pray for individuals of the Bible study and begin to see people's lives change and believe God more. And so I came to value and appreciate that when everybody else in town's asleep and I'm walking the streets and praying and connecting with God. But you know what? I'd kind of let it fade a little bit, I think, over these last couple months. I was still praying. I'm still having a quiet time. I was still praying for all you guys. But last night, I made a deal with God. You know, I don't know what it is, if I need pressure or if I never think I've got enough study enough to put it all together for a message. But I will study. This thing on the back of your bulletin, it never comes together until Sunday morning. Never. Never, never, never. As much as I try, as much as I studied in the week and organized my time, it's like I'm still adding, doing my volume, gathering, gathering, gathering. And then it's like, oh my goodness, I've got to put all this together. But, and maybe I'm being too, honestly, this is not about me. I guess it sounds like it though. But, so my Saturday nights, my average on Saturday nights is 3 hours of sleep. Every single Saturday night. That's the way it goes. But you know, last night, I got started just a little bit late, trying to put it all back, trying to wrap it all up. And I said, God, you know what? I'm doing this so much. I'm not getting the prayer in that I want to get in. I'm not really interceding. I'm not really connecting with You on this. So I'll make You a deal. I will not. If you help me get this done earlier, I will not go to bed. I will go and I'll get my usual 3 hours of sleep I've been getting. But I'll go pray. You just help me get this done. So, you know what? This came together. I got it done. It was in the vicinity of 1 o'clock last night. And I said, I'm going to go walk the streets and pray as in the days of old. So I got out and started walking. You know what? I didn't want to. Okay? I want to go to bed. I was tired. And I was not all gung-ho. But I threw on my coat, put on my little beanie hat, went out the door and I just started praying. And it was like my prayer has been for the last couple months. I was just praying, going down on my list, praying for all you guys, just praying. After about an hour, I started praying. God started telling me and assuring me He was going to speak to you. He started assuring me that this is going to happen. People are going to turn to you. People are going to turn to me, he said. Give me the faith that no longer am I just making a request and then coming inside. I'm believing him for it. I'm believing him for it. That Christ will be seen in each one of you. Then you will be his instruments. You will be his instruments. You will pray. You will believe God for others. This is revival. You know that? This is the way God intends to grow his church. It's not through, we can advertise, it's not through that that God intends to grow his church. It's through his people. It's through Jesus being seen in you. It's you taking up the banner of faith. You believing God, just like I did for Kirk, back when I was just stumbling around. It's about you believing God for people. And you connecting with God. And you praying. It might be praying for your spouse. I took up the banner of faith of praying for Lori more intensely last night than I have in quite some time. I'm ashamed to say. But I reminded God too. It's not wrong. I reminded God. I said, God, you remember those prayers I prayed for Lori? You remember those things I prayed? You remember I prayed that she would just really be an intercessor? I'm back there. I'm praying it again. And I'm believing you. I'm believing you for it. And he's assuring me these things will happen. But we don't want to pray like that. I don't want to pray like that. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what? I don't want to pray. It's costly to pray like that. I want to go to bed. I don't want to get up that early. And I don't want to make the effort. It attracts me. I told you this. It attracts me to think of getting a good book, a good spiritual, deep book that's challenging, and sitting on the couch or sitting in the backyard or sitting up in the mountains. That appeals to me. But you talk about this kind of praying, it doesn't appeal to me. To really lay hold of God. But when you do this, when you really do this, something happens. Something happens. You connect with God. You delight yourself in the Lord. And He gives you the desires of your heart. He delights in you. You delight in Him. You plan on going for somebody else. But He does something in you. And you become His instrument. And it's not easy. It's costly. So let's read a few verses. I think that may capture this. We don't want to pray like this when we're not desperate. When we're not desperate. When we're desperate. When we have a personal need and we're desperate, we'll pray like this. We will. But when we don't have that desperation and that personal need, we don't want to pray like this. But we can grow to pray as if someone else's personal need is our own. As if someone else's need, someone else's lack of obedience in their life, someone else not knowing Jesus, as if we didn't know Jesus. We can pray with the same desperation for them as if it was us. And we can allow it to produce fruit in their life and in ours. So let's go to some verses. We're in Isaiah 43, verse 22. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourself for me, O Israel. Now I hope you have a little better picture of what that means. That you've not sacrificed. You've not sacrificed to come and lift up your request before me. Now in my mercy I've answered your prayer. But you don't know what it is to delight yourself in me because you have not wearied yourself. You've not stirred up your heart to come to me. Let's go to Haggai. Haggai is like the third book from the end of the Old Testament. Right towards the back of the Old Testament. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. This is when the people of Israel were coming back. They had been in exile in Babylon. They were being allowed to come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, rebuild the wall, rebuild the city, to become a nation again. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Have you ever noticed the busier you get, it's not necessarily the more you get done. You take on this and you take on that and you take on this and you take on that and you gradually push God aside. That's what the Israelites were doing. They had their own houses to work on. They were neglecting God's house. They had their own projects. They had their own hobbies. And it didn't get them anywhere. It didn't get them anywhere. They were spinning their wheels. Colossians 4:12. Back in the New Testament. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Who are you wrestling in prayer for? Are you wrestling with God? Are you wrestling in prayer for anyone? That's how we come in contact with God. We need to be beseeching, taking it to God, wrestling in prayer, interceding, just like Epaphras was here for his home church. He was just praying for their maturity. They were already Christians. He was praying that they would submit, that they would bear fruit, that Christ would be seen in them. He was praying they would be mature, they'd be fully assured, they would be satisfied in God, not in the world. Okay, Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. James 5:16-18. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Are you praying in earnest? Are you praying earnestly? Are you submitted to God and His righteousness showing up because of that in your life? Hebrews 5:7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. This was Jesus. This was during the days, this was not just during the Passion. This is during the days of his ministry on earth that he prayed like that. You'll see there's a quote there, maybe it's a quote I changed around a little bit. But anyway, it came from Spurgeon, from Charles Spurgeon. While he was teaching, this is talking about Jesus, while he was teaching and working miracles by day, he was communing with God and interceding for men late into the night, before the day, instead of seeking restoration from his exhausting labor. That, you know what, Jesus had a human body. He got tired. The things he was doing are exhausting. Healing people, teaching, preaching, with the multitudes, with the 12, on the go. Don't you know, when he wanted to lay his head down on the pillow at night, he could be out. But instead of relaxing and resting, he was gathering more strength for the work that he was to do. Hints for prayer. Something that I do is we're going to build on this every week. I have a prayer guide. I just call it my prayer guide. And like, for instance, those verses we read, right? The verses from Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, talking about seeking God. Those are a good way to start. Just to read those verses. Read them out loud. Tell God that you want to meet with Him, that you are thankful that He has you right where you are. Because right where you are is right where He has you. And He's going to deal with you right where you are. Trust Him that He has you where you ought to be. Trust Him. If you're not where you ought to be, when you trust Him, right then, you'll be where you ought to be. So trust Him in your present situation and thank Him for it. From there, you can, pray for some things for people using the Word. Colossians 4, 2 through 6, you can jot that down. Those are some things we need to be doing. Acts 1, 8. And then as you intercede for other people, let me just give you some verses you can get some ideas from that you can write down. Now, I'll give you this in full later, but remember, get started. Psalm 119, 36. Psalm 25, 4 and 5. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Matthew 9, 23. Galatians 2, 20. So you'll come across some concepts here that you can pray for other people and you can pray them for yourself. Galatians 5, 22. James 1, 5. And let me just list a few things that you can pray for this body. You can pray that we would follow through on Matthew 28, 16, that we would go and make disciples. That we would not lose our first love. That we would maintain our love for Jesus. That from 2 Corinthians 5, that we would take on the ministry of reconciliation. And from Colossians, that Christ would be the true head of this body. And that we would preach the gospel and that we would bear much fruit. So that's enough to go on. Another thing, whoever God's put on your heart, that's a gift. If God has given you a burden to take to Him with passion, with earnestness, then that's a gift. Take it to God. Take it into the holy place. Take it into the most holy place. Take it to God and intercede. Set a time. Have a specific time, but don't let that be the only time. Set a time. But then, if you wake up in the middle of the night and God puts something in your heart, then get out of bed and pray. You know? Have those set times, but be open. Be open to what God may lead you to. Okay.